Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, titled, The Trinity at Jesus' Baptism. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our attention at BBFOhio@protonmail.com. You can send letters along with any check or money order contributions to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also make donations at bbfohio.com on your desktop by using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen, or on our mobile site at bbfohio.com by using the drop-down menu. We now begin this study in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. It's titled, The Trinity at Jesus' Baptism. This is part 1 of 2.
Jesus is the If that sounded a little rough, I threw that on there in the car on the way in. I said, how about we sing a song here, honey? That's one thing about Jenny's songs. You get the whole story, most of them. Which one of you fellas in the back? Where's Dre? Dre, come on down. You're the next contestant. I'm going to have Dre hand out a copy of the little chart that we're going to refer to at one point in our message. And I know some of you have shared with me in visual disabilities. So having one that you can put about right here in front of your face will help you. And yeah, take just a second, Dre. I'm going to pray and then you can finish passing those out. Let's go ahead and get into our time of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for just a wonderful time together already. Amen. And we thank you for wonderful songs you give us. And we have a hymn book with more than 500, and we've barely scratched the surface learning all those. Amen. And you blessed Jenny and me and others with songs we sing in our praise book. And just thank you, Lord. We want to sing your praises. We can never run out of words. And we just look forward, as I said during our time of prayer earlier, just want to be in your presence and sing face to face, looking right at you and singing with all of our hearts. Until then, the closest thing we have on this planet to you is this book. Amen. And we pray, Lord, that everyone will treat it with that kind of love and respect. And as we get into this King James Bible, we want to study verse by verse through it all. Help us as we study this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, as I said, we're in Luke 3, 21 to 22. And we're going to read those two verses. If you need a Bible, we have one in most of the pews, I think. Or you can look off your neighbors. Luke 3, verses 21 and 22. If you've got it there, read with me. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jenny, I'm going to have you turn that down just a tiny bit. I heard a little bit of feed. We're trying to make it as nice and clear for the people watching online as possible. Appreciate that. So, thank you. Appreciate that, Dre. The first time I meditated on this text, I was simply awestruck. That's the first note I came up with when I was studying this. Because I had not taken the time to really study the Godhead. I hadn't studied the persons of the Godhead. Just kind of had this thing where God was God. And I understood when I got saved, and I believe you need to understand this in order to be saved, that God was manifest in the flesh. That God came in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's necessary. It's required for salvation if, as the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, if it was Michael the Archangel who became a man, that's a created, finite being. An angel can't die for your sins, folks. So that's the major thing wrong with Watchtower Doctrine. And our Mormon neighbors and friends and co-workers, etc., they believe that Jesus is the creation of a God who was once a man. And he had a God who was once a man. And you just keep following that back. And if at some point you've got to fall off the cliff. I mean, where was the first God? You know, and it's like the Big Bang Theory. You know, what came before the Big Bang? They don't really have an answer for that. So it's important that you understand that when Jesus came to this earth as a little baby, and you see all this stuff at Christmas time, it's not just a nice story about a baby that grew up to be a man who was killed unjustly. That's true, but it's more than that. He was God, and he came to die. That's the reason he came. And I remember when I first would read the Gospels, and I'd read about Jesus being crucified, and I'd think, man, I wish I was there. I'd grabbed a javelin and, protected Jesus. Well, that's what Peter thought he was doing when he took a sword and cut the ear off the soldier. And Jesus said, no, 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 Peter. I came to die. You're getting in my way. And so then you have some basic understanding of Jesus like that, but then you come to this text and it really is a mind-blowing event. Now, first thing is, it says Jesus also being baptized. Now, if you've been raised to believe, which I was not raised to believe this, but I know a lot of people who were raised to believe that when you're baptized, that washes your sins away. And so I'm thinking, well, why is Jesus being baptized? He didn't sin. Well, it's because that's not what baptism does in the first place. Amen. Baptism doesn't wash your sins away. It might wash the dirt off your face. But the purpose of baptism is, number one, to be obedient. Amen. You're told to be baptized. And I encourage anyone here today who hasn't been baptized by immersion in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you ought to do that. And it's a testimony to the world. That's the second reason. First, you do it out of obedience. Secondly, you're given a testimony that you have believed in the one who is crucified, buried, and risen again. You can come raising up out of that water. You're giving testimony of the risen Savior. And so you believe in baptism biblically. Then you come to this and you still think, well, why was Jesus being baptized? And you just think about that moment. Think about Jesus being in the water. I think I have a picture here. Somebody, every once in a while, you see these wood carvings. John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. And our text doesn't go into it, but in another place, and I believe it's in Matthew, but the account of his baptism, John says what, when you read this, you think, I'd be saying, whoa, wait a minute, me baptize Jesus? And that's what John said. And there's a reason why, and when Jesus answered John, he tells why. I answered my own question in the Gospel of Matthew. So turn over to Matthew 3. Keep your finger in Luke 3 and turn over to Matthew 3. Matthew 3, 13 through 15. Verse 13 says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Read 14. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Now, isn't that a pretty legitimate response in your opinion? If Jesus had come to me to be baptized, that's exactly what, or something to that effect anyway. So Jesus answers in verse 15. Read that with me. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. You know, the bottom line is, Jesus was baptized because Jesus always did the right thing. Jesus led by example. And Jesus set the example there. And you have some, I know, among the hyper-dispensationalists today, who go around telling everybody that baptism and even the Lord's Supper isn't for our dispensation and all this nonsense, and just ignore it. It is for us, and that's why Paul talks about the issues in 1 Corinthians, because it was still a matter of importance for Christians to take communion and the Lord's Supper, and also to be baptized once you became a born-again believer. And Jesus led by example, and that's the reason he's doing this here. And how many of you ever wondered why Jesus was baptized? You ever wonder that? Man, I got my work cut out for me. You guys know everything. I don't know how I'm going to teach you anything this morning. None of you ever wondered why Jesus was baptized? When you read Jesus being baptized, you didn't think, why is he being baptized? I'm talking about you reading the Bible and just Jesus was baptized. You never wondered. Well, you had a better teacher than I did. Because I'm telling you, people don't... I get this question all the time out in the world. I get this question all the time. Some of you, I'm just going to be honest with you, some of you don't think. Not point fingers at who. I'll get this question in the next few months from some of you. You watch. Happens. I'll teach something and, oh, we already know that. Couple months later, Pastor Greg, somebody I work with brought this thing up and I want to ask you about it. I said, well, you know, we taught that a couple months ago. You can watch the message online. But I can give you an answer right now since, you know, I just waste my time putting all this together. But I have people on the internet who will contact me and say, well, where is this? And I'll send them a link and say, well, there's a full answer in that message right there. And they're offended because I don't lay out all the information. But I just wanted to bring that up because that's the importance of this. We talk about things, we go verse by verse through books. And a lot of what you're going to study doesn't affect you right now. But there's the purpose of you coming here today, did you know this? Isn't to answer all your questions. The purpose of you coming to church and meeting week after week is to be prepared to answer the questions others have. Amen. See? And so you never wondered what other people are going to say. Well, Jesus was baptized, so I think you have to be baptized to be saved. You say, well, no, wait a minute. I remember we studied that at BBF. The reason to be baptized wasn't to be saved. Jesus didn't need to be saved, did he? No. So just a little FYI there as we continue on. It says, and praying, the heaven was opened. And we're not told exactly what he prayed, but it must have been some prayer, amen? Yes. How many times you prayed in heaven opened? I've felt like it at times. There have been times where I prayed and the Lord answered and it felt like the heaven had opened, amen? But that didn't literally happen. In this case, it literally happened. And I think it's more than what most people think. I think a lot of people read this and they go, oh, heaven opened, kind of like we've experienced. This is something beyond that. Scientists attempt to describe how these things happen. Heaven is a place. Did you know that?
Yes.
Heaven's not imaginary. It's not a fairy tale land, you know, once upon a time and fairy dust and all that stuff. It is a place. We don't have time to get into all this, but I hear more and more teachers who will just kind of discount the fact that the Bible says that promotion doesn't come from the east, west, or south. Where's it come from?
North.
When Lucifer fell from the sides of the
north.
Every time heaven is given some kind of location or direction, it's always north. And then some people say, well, if he was on Jupiter, it would be in a different direction. God's not talking to people on Jupiter. God is talking to people on Earth. And if you're an Earthling, and as far as we know, that's the only planet with life on it, no matter what the scientists tell you.
Amen.
And if you're on Earth and you want to point toward heaven, point toward the North Star.
Amen.
And I don't know why that's so hard for people, but that's what it's a big deal to a lot of people. They think that, oh, well, I don't think that's to be taken literally. Well, the problem with that is once you start deciding what you're going to take literally, when it seems to be literal and you decide not to, then you're going to find other things you don't want to take literally.
Yeah.
And that's what people are doing today. You ever heard scientists talk about wormholes?
Yeah.
See, Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, he was there like that. That's how quick Jesus went from the Mount of Olives to heaven. And so scientists have tried to describe that and explain that, and they come up with this idea of wormholes. Well, I don't believe it's a wormhole. Scientifically, as soon as you entered the wormhole, it would close in on you and you'd die, but that's another discussion. But there's this thing, hyperspace. How many of you watch Star Trek? It's not just fairy tale. It is theoretically established to be a possibility, except for it would take all the energy in the universe to make it happen. And so, and more, yeah, more than. So they come up with that. And you heard of antimatter?
Yep.
And they theoretically come up with these concepts of traveling. But what happened when Jesus prayed, you could look up and see heaven.
Yeah. Amen.
Somehow God was able to move or stretch the gate of heaven right there hovering over top of the waters in Jordan. Ain't the first time. How many of you remember the story in Exodus? It's one of my favorite parts of the story of Exodus. Pharaoh's armies are all right there at the edge of the Red Sea, not the Sea of Reeds. The Red Sea. And they're just waiting to go in, but it's nighttime. And it says God shows up in the pillar of fire, and he looks upon them, and it caused them to tremble.
Yeah. Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
The Lord is omnipresent, and just with a thought, he can go from heaven to Worthington, Ohio.
Amen.
Because in reality, he's already there.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. So the only problem unbelievers have with the Bible is unbelief. If you believe in God, then none of this is a big deal. I tell people, I don't recommend you do this, but I will sometimes, I just listen to atheists, their lectures. I've read some of their books. I read Stephen Hawking's material something about time? What was the name of that book?
History of Time.
Yeah, History of Time or Short History of Time or something like that. But he put two or three out, and I've read them a few years ago, and I've read a few of these other books by atheists, but I like to listen to their lectures, and I had Jenny listen last week. I said, listen to this, Jenny, just listen. And what you'll hear is they don't know anything. I'd say, Jenny, listen to them talk. They don't know anything. All they know is they don't like God. That's all they know. And they'll make comments like, well, I wouldn't want to even live in a universe where there was a necessity for a God. That's the things this is all atheists, a gathering of Richard Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss was the one we were listening to. They were out in, I think, Arizona State or someone like that. Had a big crowd of a couple thousand people. And all they could talk about was how they think Christians are stupid. They wouldn't want to go to a school where a Christian professor taught anything. They wouldn't want to go to a doctor that was a Christian. And they said, you know, they talk about us, how closed-minded we are. And then when they open up the Q&A, a man stands up and tries to ask a question. And as soon as he mentions Scripture, they cut him off. Those open-minded liberals and open-minded atheists are the most closed-minded people on the planet. And they want you, they've expunged the schools from open debate. I'm talking grade school, high school. You go to the public schools, you announce a lecture by anybody like any conservative. And almost all the state schools and a lot of the private schools, they will do everything they can to shut it down. To keep you from hearing the other side. Why? Because they don't want you to hear the other side, because you'll realize believing that there is an eternal God who can do things like this makes a whole lot more sense than the idea that there were these laws of physics and laws of gravity that created everything out of nothing. That's the question. Exactly what we were listening to them yapping about it last week. And I said, nobody's got the guts to stand up and ask them, and they'd probably cut the mic off. Where did the laws come from? Where did the laws of physics come from? Where did the laws of gravity come from? God. God's the lawgiver. So, it's interesting to read this stuff, and science is interesting, and especially when it's not science falsely so-called. When it's real science, it's interesting. But God doesn't need tech. And that's all we need to know. They were talking about how the virgin birth. virgin. That's how they were talking. These are like grown men. They grow, you know. And like, ain't nothing to God. The virgin birth? That's like God sneezing. That's how difficult it is for him. The virgin birth. Why is that a big deal? Jesus said, light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Don't be fooled one bit by these guys, professors, guys like Dawkins selling their books and everything. They love sin. And they don't want to answer to a God for their sin. And that's all that motivates them in all that they do. You don't believe it, then you're being, I think you're just being closed-minded. Because if you listen to their debates, you listen to their discussions, that's what they always come around to. They just don't want to live in a universe with a God. I got news for them. They live in a universe where not only is there a God, but God became a man and came to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. He's taken care of their sin. And when they stand before God, they're going to answer for the fact that they rejected the answer for their sin problem. Amen. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Something out of nothing, except it came into being not by the laws of physics and the laws of gravity making something out of nothing. It came by the word of God. That's why when you get down to the DNA level, it's digits. It's information. And when man wants to try to replicate God, you know what he came up with? Ones and zeros. Ones, data. Those are little words. Only ones that are coded with ones and zeros. The Bible's way ahead of the tech rage. The Bible said way before we understood it that it's all about data, language, Amen. The Word of God. Ain't that something? So verse 22 then continues and shows us the Trinity. We understand God exist, that's one thing. But James says the demons, the devils, believe and tremble. So what's verse 22 say? Read it again with me. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So you see three in one. The Holy Ghost is descending in a bodily shape like a dove. And then the Father speaks, and that's the voice you hear or read about. And then the Son is in the water and being baptized. There's the Trinity in the baptism of Jesus. And if you don't realize it, you need to recognize and realize it, that the attack on the Trinity is in high gear in these days of apostasy. The attack on the Trinity, and what one of the main tactics that Satan has is to say, well, it's not really important. That's what people are doing today. Churches are saying, well, you know, they may not believe in the Trinity, but it's not really important. It started back in, before Mariah was born. I was preaching down in Southwest Ohio, and during a message I mentioned, I didn't really make it a major point, but I mentioned that Jesus...